You're listening to Comedy Central.
This is an interesting one, Ralph.
Hmm.
Now hiring. The Golden State Warriors could potentially be looking for another small forward because Andrew Wiggins is not fully vaccinated. He was resistant to getting the vaccine, but now he's realizing that he won't be able to play in most of the NBA games if he's not fully vaccinated. But once he realized that he might not get paid for half of the season, and that could cost him, you know, around $15 to $17 million of his $30-plus million that's guaranteed this year, he went and got that first motherfucking vaccine shot, with the second one coming up around the corner. Per the local ordinances in the city of San Francisco, you must be vaccinated at all large indoor events. This means Wiggins cannot play in 41 of the 82. Really, it's more than 40 if you count Knicks and Nets.
I'm going to say, yeah, that's a lot of, that's a lot. So, wait a minute, so him and Kyrie Irving both are basically seeing the same psychic.
We ain't even got to Kyrie yet. That's a whole nother separate thing that we'll have to unpack. He requested a religious exemption to the NBA's vaccination policy, but it was denied.
What religion was he claiming, though, bro? Canadian? Is that a religion? Can you be Canadian?
Is he Canadian?
He's totally Canadian.
Clearly Canadian?
Clearly Canadian.
That's a drink.
My name is Roy. This is my job there. Top of the Wednesday to you. Jacqueline, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping. At least they are where I am right now in New York City. How is your day down south, parts only?
It's lovely. I got flowers today. It's just a good day.
Who sent you flowers? Wait a minute now. Hang on. Hang on now.
You
like your big brothers over here. Who sent you flowers?
Yeah, I'll play that shit.
Oh, I don't.
Who is this
dude? I don't know. I kid you not. They just say for you. And they're beautiful.
Hang on. What kind of flowers?
They are not friendly flowers. They are. Oh, oh yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh. This is trying to get to use Droll's flowers. Okay.
I'm going to send you guys a picture.
No. Do you have any possible suspects?
No, because I'm not even interested, so.
How? You don't even know who they're from?
I'm not interested enough to even try to find out. They're just pretty. Flowers
see,
are nice.
See, you got, see, now I'm going to get all romantic comedy on you. You gotta open your heart to love. Love can't get in if you don't open your heart. We got a good show today. We're going to teach y'all how to talk to motherfuckers.
Mm.
It's one thing to have a job, but it's another thing to really turn on the charm and things that you can do to better yourself, especially when it comes to working digitally and working remotely. You have to come through the camera, you know?
So you saying, like, if I were to, like, for lack of a better word, like, almost like investing in yourself type, I'm going to get better on camera by talking to somebody else that can help me get better on camera who's also good on camera. Like, is that kind of a thing?
Yeah, because...
That's a scam.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a scam. How is that a scam? It's charm. It's charm school.
It's a scam.
It is learning the ways to make sure that you know how to connect with people. It's deeper than your resume. And I know, you know, Sister Faulkner, when we get to her in the next break, it's about going live and using the internet, but I believe that there's a duality in what she teaches about going live on the internet to build your brand that also translates into remote jobs. When you're just in a meeting with 40 motherfuckers, the same skills you use to go live and connect with people on Instagram is the same shit you could be doing over Zoom to look more lively and better in that little bitty box so you can stand out. It's deeper than having a cute background and your books color-coded and all that other horse shit they do on MSNBC. With respect to Dr. Christina M. Greer, I love your background because you're one of my friends and you're one of the few people on MSNBC that I know. Thank you. So
this don't count for OnlyFans. Is that what you're saying? This don't count for OnlyFans.
This is not like OnlyFans. Why would you bring up OnlyFans?
It's a camera. You got to reach out to people.
Look, we're going to make
You gonna tell me you gotta they gotta touch you somehow.
We are going now. Here's something you can say is a scam.
Okay.
This is according to an article from CNBC.com. Mm-hmm. 5 phrases to avoid that make you sound passive aggressive.
Go ahead.
Jacqueline, I need you to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. This is about to be real. Lay it on. Lay it on.
These are 5 phrases that you can avoid that make you sound passive aggressive. These are 5 phrases you should avoid that rub people the wrong way in the office.
Okay.
See, we're going to cover verbiage right now, and then we're going to get Faulkner on here, and we're going to talk about that visual.
Okay.
Number 1. Per my last email.
Okay.
Number 2.
You ain't gonna be able to get through all 4 of these, bro. Come on, come on, come on, bring them. I'm loving it.
Number 2. Mm-hmm. For future reference.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get through them all, and then we'll focus on the ones we want, okay? Per my last email, for future reference, these are all phrases you need to avoid. And I hate doing lists like this, Ralph, because you know, you come from radio. This is such a fucking cop-out of content. To just, I saw an article, and I'm going to talk about the list. But this actually pairs well with the
meal we're setting today. This is a good list. This works out. This works
out. Per my last email, for future reference. Number 3, bumping this to the top of your inbox. You know, that low-key means, motherfucker, what is taking you so long? I done asked you so many times to do this. Number 4, just to be sure we're on the same page. And the number 5 phrase to avoid that makes you sound passive-aggressive to some of your coworkers is going forward. Now, that one I don't agree with.
That was a little bit of a push on the end. That's a sweet.
That one I don't agree with, because I tell you this much: what you don't want to say is going forward in a relationship capacity. That shit'll fuck up your home life.
You know, that one or my least favorite words: we need to talk. I don't know how many words those are, but anything that comes after that generally bad, in my opinion.
And
that goes for work too. That definitely goes for work too. You get the email that says we need to talk. That's bad.
I just thought this was an interesting list, because the thing that I think is a little scammy about this third is the solutions that they give. You know, I like because the solutions connect to so it gives us those 5 things, right? But then it says, here are 4 successful things that communicators do. Number 1, you don't respond to emails when you're angry or frustrated. Number 2, you assume.
No, I'm already out. I'm good.
Wait, you reply immediately when an email rubs you the wrong way?
Yeah.
No. Oh no, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing it for years. Been that's the way I rock. Feel it, you're gonna catch this heat rock. But then I'll come back later and be like, my bad, I hadn't ate and I'm sorry.
Yes, you need to go eat. You are the Snickers commercial.
Stay the Snickers girl. Stay hangry, bro.
So
stay hangry.
Let's see. Don't respond to messages or emails when you're angry or frustrated. Number 2, assume good intent. Number 3, show empathy and encouragement.
Okay.
Number 4, avoid digital ghosting. And those are the solutions. So like, if you want to be a successful digital communicator, you need don't talk to folks when you're angry about some shit. Assume they meant the best. Be nice and encourage them, and get back to them. Don't ghost people. That's basic shit. So this is where the list pisses me off. It's saying that these are all passive aggressive. Per my last email, for future reference, bumping this to the top of your inbox. Well, if I assume good intent, I ain't tripping off of you saying per my last email. I've had people bump shit to the top of my inbox because I ghosted them.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
So I think some of these kind of work in contention. Now, Jacqueline, which of these phrases is your favorite?
Oh, in my 20s, per my last email, all day long. Per my last email. In my 30s, I came down to your office. and saying, per my last email, would you like to talk now? Now in my 40s, I'm a little more laid back.
Oh, I don't know. Laid back. I wouldn't want to face you on some HR shit, JJ. I ain't going to lie to you. I normally don't get scared of folks and stuff, but you the type of person to give somebody that hard-ass look like Felicia Rashad do, and then all of a sudden, you just want to pee on yourself.
I can hear you, Norwood Jr. Okay, the kids in my classes, when I come charging across campus, they are running to that classroom.
Omar coming.
I just don't think
that there's a need to get offended when people are talking to you digitally. Like unless you just straight cuss me out, it just doesn't bother me because I just assume, like, read the email in a Mickey Mouse voice. And if you're still offended, then fine. Clap back. But otherwise.
But you have such compassion for people. You are just so nice.
That's not what it is. And I've been talking to my therapist about it. I am an avoidant and I hate conflict. So the quickest way is to just not get involved with conflict and let things flow the way that I don't want them to flow and then quietly resent you in private for the next 2 years. That's not.
And I need to maybe pull back just a tad, but I want to address whatever it is. Find a solution and move on. Because, I mean, I got other stuff to do.
I worked in an explosive-ass industry, and I learned that once you start going to work after about 11:30, 12 at night, decorum is kind of out of the window, and all of the emails have lots and lots of curse words. So you can read it in a Mickey Mouse voice if you want to, but now Mickey is just cussing at you. You know what I mean? So after a while, you know, I would definitely say that part of the problem was the fact that you're working in the middle of the night, working a 24-hour news cycle. Things move very quickly and you really kind of don't have the you're taught not to take it personal, but like after you've been doing that shit for a couple months and somebody coming at you the wrong way, that could be their last cigarette break for real. Like it's just the truth. Like after a while it feels personal, even though it may not be. So for me, I definitely had to learn how not to send angry ass emails, because I was definitely one to lead an email with motherfucker. We just spoke.
No.
Absolutely. You think I'm playing?
You're sending them Jason Whitlock emails that Deadspin found with ESPN was trying to run him out of there.
Bro, look, the worst mistake you ever made is when your supervisor sends you an email with a curse word in it, and then you go to them like, hey, there's a curse word there. And they're like, oh, man, don't worry about it. It's after midnight. That's just how we talk. Oh, okay. And then they mess around and put you on day shift, and that's where the problems really begin. That's when the problems begin. That's when... Mr. Cooper, you know you can't speak like this in email during the day. Oh, word? I ain't even fucking know. I can't write that. I can't. Oh, my bad.
Per my last email, I told you mofos.
Look
at these flowers that Jacqueline got.
Aren't they lovely?
Okay, they're really trying to hit that.
These is not no.
Yeah. No.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Those are not, I want to sell your used drawers, flowers right there. I want them drawers.
No.
I have a subscription. I'm not going to tell you how to run your life, Jacqueline, but anybody going that much trouble to be that thoughtful, if as long as you confirm that they ain't crazy, you know, let that motherfucker take you to fucking Red Lobster or something.
Look, why are you shaking your head? Let this dude take, you got me Red and Roy Lobster. As bodyguards. Okay, my bad. We'll kick it up. He'll take you to Papa Do's. How about that? Is that better for you?
No. I just think
and me and Roy can stand outside when he come back out and be like, "Hey, man, what's your intentions is, dog?"
I'd ask that myself.
Hey, what's up, dog?
I'm not gonna stop. Whatever. They're beautiful flowers, though, from whomever and whatever. So thank you.
I don't think you're being fair to this person. I'm gonna be honest.
We don't know what this. All it said was. For you. We don't even know.
Okay, so then let's just start there and let's see where it goes. I mean, he could be crazy. He could be a... You know what we're going to do? We're going to show the flowers to Rod, and we're going to let Rod decide. So we're going to table this discussion.
Okay.
And when we get Rod on a little later in the show, we're going to fucking find out what you should do. And whatever Rod says do, that's what you have to do.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I will listen to Rod. I will take counsel from all of you, but I will make the my own decision here. But these are beautiful.
I had them cops on standby.
It's time for Cody's Most Outstanding Employee of the Week. Normally, we do something that is silly and funny, but I actually want to give a legitimate, serious, well done to my good friend in Montgomery, Alabama, Sister Michelle Browder. Mm-hmm. About a week or so ago, back end of September, I think it was, a monument was erected there in Montgomery that honors the mothers of gynecology. And it honors three enslaved Black women who were unwilling subjects in experiments that resulted in a lot of the medical gynecological, that's not a word, advances that had women's medicine. And, you know, normally, you know, they credit this Montgomery physician, J. Marion Sims, I don't even like saying his name, with these experiments and these tools and techniques, but he was experimenting on women, Black women, enslaved Black women, without their consent or anesthesia.
Yeah, bring it up, bro. Hey, yo, you sent me down a rabbit hole on Twitter when I looked that up, man. That's one of the craziest things I've ever read. How you do surgery like that, and this dude was talking about fistulas and all kind of things with no anesthesia. That's just unreal.
To this day. Medical books still saying that women of color have high thresholds of pain because of what this man did. So there are women who go into hospitals, premature labor, and they send them home. I mean, it's a gauntlet of things.
They'll also do surgeries and stuff. My mama, who's still alive, went to a dentist one time. He went straight old school hammer and chisel on her teeth. And, you know, because he got disbarred during the disbarment, they asked him why. And his whole thing was Black women should be able to take more pain and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, this whole thing, Roy, is props to this sister, man.
The 15-foot statue, which Michelle herself helped to weld. It is named after three of the 11 women. And, you know, if you all want to donate to what they're doing down there in Montgomery, and I'm actually being serious and sincere for a change. AnnArcherLucyBetsy.org is the website. If you just Google Mothers of Gynecology, it comes up right there in the Google and it'll take you everywhere you need to go for uplifting Black women's. And their contributions. My friend Michelle Browder, you are
Cody's Most Outstanding Employee of the Week.
Yes, well deserved.
I was going to go down there, but that COVID vaccination rate's at 36%. So
I do want to add, though, and you don't like to share this kind of stuff, but I'm going to say it anyway. You went live on Instagram. That's very rare to promote this, to share this information, to get more people to turn their attention to this well-deserved monument. And Roy Wood Jr., that is a good thing. I know you're going to send me nasty text messages later, but I think that was wonderful. A wonderful use of your celebrity.
That conversation is still up. It's still up on my Instagram if you want to see my conversation with Michelle Browder about this monument and, you know, what led her to do it and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it really is a cool thing. Let's get now into worst and first. Tell us about one of them shitty jobs you had, one of them good jobs you had. roysjobfair@gmail.com. roysjobfair@gmail.com. We encourage you to email the show. We shoot the shit on social all the time, but if you're really trying to reach us in a professional, structured capacity, don't send DMs, because we don't read them all the time. There's a lot of different folks in there. No.
Jacqueline Dancer ain't looking at her.
Not at all.
Talking crazy. I'm trying to protect Rhonda from this shit because somebody already DM'd me on my account. So what down South Georgia girl look like, motherfucker? Shut your ass. Respectfully.
Look, man, I got all alumni doggone Morehouse hit me on the limb talking about something. Hey, man, so what's up with JG, bro? Hey, no. You are not talking to JG.
Hang on. Nah, let's let Jacqueline decide that. You don't screen the dicks for Jacqueline.
Oh, my God.
you send her some options and go, this brother, you know, he ain't got no warrants. He got one kid, but he got good money. This what? Brother got a lot of money, but he got five kids. And you true, set up true. The pros and cons.
The kid count is important. We're going to talk about this.
Shouldn't be talking like this in front of company. We got company on the show. I already said motherfucker and dick in front of a woman. I'm trying to be appropriate.
Quickly, too.
This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Jesus. Jesus. Keeping you
now. Jesus included. Included.
He sees all. He sees all.
Jacqueline, who's on the line?
We have Christina with us. She's going to talk worst job. Actually, fired on Employee Appreciation Day. That's so terrible.
Okay. Third, have I ever told you a story about the time I got in a fight at a Stop the Violence rally?
What?
Nah,
that's what this feels like. It's like just two things that should not happen at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, in the eighth grade, I got in a fight at a Stop the Violence rally. Mario Brown, whoop my ass. That's a separate conversation. I started to fight because I thought nobody would let us fight. So I punched him first.
Oh, that's the worst.
I punch him, and then I'm waiting for motherfuckers to separate us. Talking about, we brothers. Ain't we brothers? Come. Nope. Somebody said, get him, Mario.
You gonna let him hit you like that, guys?
Motherfucker got me. I cussed again. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. So, Christina.
Yes.
Fired on Employee Appreciation Day.
I was laid off.
Make it clear. Let them know. Make it clear.
It's the same thing, but yes.
What city and what was the occupation?
So I'm from Dallas. I live in Dallas, and I'm actually, my background is HR recruiter. So I've worked in recruiting for almost 15 years. And so I was working for, it was a private residential company, and they would go and buy homes and rehab them and rent them out.
Okay.
So I'm telling, but I'm not telling, but it was them.
I'm going to call you later. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they laid off three of us like in one day on Employee Appreciation Day. This was also the same year, within the same month that I was celebrating an anniversary. So it was like a perfect storm. Like, I get laid off on Employee Appreciation Week, and I have to be there like another week or two to see my name on the list of everybody celebrating their anniversary. It was horrifying. It was horrifying. Oh, yeah, I went on the stage. Yeah, that day I did. They were like, you can leave. And I was like, nah, we having pizza today.
Right? I'm going to get these slices.
Yeah. And I mean, on the committee, Ralph. I think I told you, like, we were going through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that they just did not, it was very poorly planned. And I think, you know, there was this huge gap between here and here. Right. So, you know, here's the committee. I don't even think they considered that I was on the committee for, you know, employee engagement. That's what they called it. But we did appreciation, birthdays, anniversaries, and all of that. And so, yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm confused. Were you much younger? What made you stay?
Well, so like I said, I got laid off. So that day they asked us if we wanted to stay, we could. But I still had like 2 weeks left because I got severance and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you would have walked, you would have got it. I'm with you.
Yeah, oh no,
I don't follow. I don't follow. Help me out with that.
So if she'd have walked that day, she'd have lost all of her extra benefits and everything.
That PTO,
If she'd have stayed for the extra week, not only does she get, you get paid out your 2 weeks, right? So you get to pay it out vacation time.
Any bonus,
you
know, anything. Yeah.
I work corporate for some time. I know how that works. You got to keep the job long enough to get your
job. I had to understand that because I was like, you're going to tell me I'm gone today. And then, okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was more of a furlough because they let you stay. When you're laid off, they get two big black security dudes you ain't never seen before, and they get to walk you back to your desk, but they give you this little manila envelope. I'm just saying. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
I'm sorry.
What was the energy like between you and your coworkers once they knew, once the word was out?
Yeah.
Like, once the word was out that, she already laid off.
It was a sad moment, but I don't feel that anyone was, you know, particularly, you know, kitty hands with me. That day was strange because what they did was they brought us each in a room. So, yeah. And so that part was kind of like, what's going on? I just saw XYZ go in. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of had like this feeling of something.
Mm-hmm. I had a feeling of something.
I didn't know if, you know, because we were talking about possibly moving the company to Charlotte. So there were a lot of people that were in, you know, a situation of, are they leaving? Are they staying? Are we, like, there were a lot of things going on. But yeah, that was where I felt the worst. And afterwards, no, nobody was really, you know, they were really shocked that they were like, you're just gonna, you're here, you're okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I have dignity and I'm, you know, I'm gonna work this thing.
So did you work those last 2 weeks?
No. Mm-mm. Okay. I volunteered to be the receptionist. I was like, I'll do it. Like, no. No. I didn't do much of anything.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Christina. I hope the pizza was delicious. I appreciate you. Next time I'm down in Dallas, I got you on some free tickets to a show.
That's awesome. Thank y'all.
Thank
That's
my you, word. Christina.
Thank you so You're much. So Thank nice. You for calling
Thanks. In. Bye, Ralph. Bye, guys.
Bye.
She's nice.
Oh, yeah. Her hair was super cute.
Nah, she was real.
I'd have walked out that fucking place on the moment they said, we got the leaf.
You can't bounce because you want that leftover paid time off. You want those last 2 weeks to go. Get your toes checked, get everything checked while you still get have that insurance. You can't just bounce, but that's what I was wondering. So she answered.
But you know what? You have to learn that too. Like, because most people, when they have jobs, they really don't know that. And when you get frustrated at a job, if you got 2 or 3 weeks left and you know your days and all that kind of stuff, it's worthy to just sit, you know, finish out the time, let the contract expire so you can take care of yourself.
That's fair.
Like, straight up. Like,
all right, so yeah.
Most people don't know.
So y'all just call me irresponsible. That's fine. After the break, we're going to explore the world of employment. No, that's what y'all did. We're going to explore the world of employment. That's fine. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to sit here and think about why am I still so immature at 42 years old. Job back. We'll be right back. Job fair. Back in this thing. Roy Wood Jr., third, an ungrateful ass JG.
Wait a minute. How am I ungrateful?
AKA Flower Robert. AKA take your floral basket and then send you on your way. AKA even when send a brother do something nice, way. A woman won't even reply and even say thank you for the flowers, and I'm finna go out here and I'm going back to the club and I'm dogging these girls out tonight.
Roy.
Won't even say thank you for
Roy,
the flowers.
All it says is for you. I don't even know who it is. I know they are gorgeous, but I don't even know who it is.
Okay, well.
How can I say anything?
Well, they're stealing flowers. She had to steal flowers.
Well, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this podcast, if he's sending you flowers like that, he is absorbing everything you do. You need to let us know who you need. You need to let Jacqueline know who you are. Because otherwise, it's creep shit. You got to say your name.
And Jacqueline will shoot you. But moving on.
Damn. Damn.
That's not
so
a joke at all.
Fast, right?
So
no.
We want to talk about people being better employees and people using tools that are already right there in front of them and easily accessible, and ways to make those tools into assets that can make you money. And if you're already making money from them, ways to make more money from them. So, to help us do that, JG, per my last email to you, Jacqueline, I believe you should have the information. Do I need to bump it to the top of your inbox to introduce this guest?
You know what? We have a CEO on the line. Oh. I'm going to be a very nice person.
Oh, we're in the corporate suite.
Corporate suite. We're in the corporate suite. Let's
the
go.
Corporate suite.
We have Rosie. And she is the CEO of Rosie Faulkner, LLC.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great.
Rosie, do not get upset with me, but I have a straight sidebar.
Okay.
Is that you or what's going on there?
Oh, this is a wig.
I know. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Oh, could you tell?
No, I didn't. Yes. I couldn't. I couldn't tell.
No, it's a wig. Jack,
switch
up. Switch up in a minute.
Yeah.
Curly if I wanted to.
That's cute.
This portion of Roy's Job Fair is brought to you by Black Women Hair Talk. Black Women Hair Talk.
Black Women
What'd you
hair
say, Ralph? 4C, 3C, 3H hair.
Right? Curly and kinky.
Cute, Rosie. Cute.
Thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome. Mm.
I actually, when we were reading up on you, I actually started feeling like, well, you might be somebody whose services I need. Now, your signature course is The Real Secret to Gaining Confidence and Going Live. Now, we talk about going live, you know, we're talking about live broadcasting to the internet as a way to sell yourself and your brands, because I think what's happening now with a lot of commerce in this country, people aren't just buying the product, they're buying into the person, they're buying into mm-hmm. the ideal, they're buying into who you are. So what made you decide, this is how I'm gonna help people help themselves?
So I've always wanted to help actually Black women use their voices. So I first started out kind of in the fashion field, and no one would give me an opportunity to get exposure. So I started a show called Style Access to bring on other stylists, other wardrobe people, different places, people that do makeup, and to get them exposure. And once I developed those skills of being in front of the camera as a host, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to start a video production company. And so that's how that started. And now I'm teaching women over 40 how to show up with confidence on video.
So you teach women who look good how to look better on film already in order to sell things. Is that what you do?
Sure, if you want to put it like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm in. Well,
it really is a need because as commerce started changing into more of a digital and social priority in terms of marketing, there were a lot of people that never fooled with that or bothered to learn that or just didn't have the time. Because if you're talking over 40, you're talking about a lot of people that have families and other obligations and usher board meeting and soccer practice. So...
It's a sandwich generation.
And if you didn't come up in it and you already don't have other people running with you in the pack, because, you know, the youngins, they all, you learn everything from your peers and the people that you're around. If your peers aren't doing that, when do you really have an opportunity to even learn, you know, that type of stuff? And I know you can't give away all the stuff because I know you got your courses and everything, but please give us a little bit of the knowledge. Why is going live and why is that type of stuff important for people? And then what's the best way to kind of try and get over some of the stage fright and hesitancies that people may have with that?
So, for example, pre-COVID, you may have been a boutique owner, you know, a clothing boutique owner. You had steady traffic going into your establishment. But hey, COVID happened. Everything was shut down. How are you going to make money? Mm-hmm. A lot of people had to transition to be the face of their company, and they're scared to death to do that. So now you have all these shipments still coming in. You need to get in the front of the camera. You need to sell those clothing. And a lot of people were just so terrified to do that. And you just need some push. You need to build your confidence. And that's where I come in to help you with that. One tip would be, if you're going live, just get to the point. Don't sit around and say, well, I'm waiting for a lot of people to get on, a couple of more people to get on. No, if I'm right there, you have my attention. You need to capture it before I, you know, scroll on, cut you off, or move forward. So my first tip would be to definitely don't do that. Just get right to your point. You need to be prepared, have bullet points of what you're going to talk about, and get right to it. You have a replay for the people that was not on at the beginning. So that's one of the tips.
How can those skills also translate over to remote working?
It can be the same. So one example is just building your confidence. That can go from remote to your business as well. If you're speaking on a Zoom call, look right into the camera. Be confident. Be yourself. That's the most important part. People want to look to the left and look to the right and try to see a roadmap that somebody else followed that worked for them. My thing is to be yourself. And it takes a while, honestly, to get comfortable to be yourself because you're afraid to let go. And so I have different tasks and different exercises to kind of like get to the root of that so you can be yourself, because ultimately people want to see past it. You know, I curse, you know, so I'm not going to not curse because that's not me. I don't, you know, it's not every sentence. But if I need to curse, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's me. Be yourself. Be authentic. And so that's what I tried to teach people through the program.
I got a question. Yeah. Okay. So my question would be for people like my mama, right? Like my mom's, she has all the computer stuff that she could possibly need. And when you sit in a room with her, she's super engaging. But like when she tries to go online, it don't really work. as well. Because my mama, and if she hears this, I'm gonna get this phone call, and I know it's coming. What happened when your mama's named Joyce? My mama will look right into the camera and tell you that she can't see you, but like she has that little piece of tape over it. You know what I mean? And it's weird. It messes with her confidence. So, like, could you talk about, you know, the confidence of people trying to go on camera and getting used to that kind of thing? Because, like, I can speak in front of thousands of people, but, like, it's really hard for me even to just get on the camera and have random conversations with folks and stuff.
First off, leave your mama alone. You already know what she's going through. You already said she got the tape up there. So tell her when she call, you say, Mom, did you remove the tape? Help her out. Help her out, first of all. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once she removes the tape, mm-hmm. she has to, like, look into it and, you know, make sure all her settings are correct. And, you know, pretty much, senior citizens are doing it, okay? Mm-hmm. They have their little classes. And they know how to text, how to get on live, mm-hmm. all that. So don't sleep on them, Dan. Don't sleep on them.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Well, the video podcast, if you ain't scared of cussing for real, shooting the shit with Rosie.
Fire.
You can say yes on that.
Is your video fire. Podcast. Give people a little bit more information of where they could reach you if they want to jump on board with gaining a little confidence, either going live or being remote.
Yeah, so please visit my website at rosiefaulkner.com. I encourage you to get on my email list. I do a personal email to all of the people in the community to help their go live journey. And we have fun in that community. So I would definitely steer you there first. Next would be to go on my YouTube channel and watch Shooting the Shits with Rosie every Tuesday at 7:30. Also, I do the Bandwidth where I bring on experts and we help you go live, you know, help your go live journey, anything from public speaking to whatever tools you need. So definitely watch that on Thursdays at 7:30. And yeah, that's it.
To the listeners, I hope that you understand that everything that she's talking about with regards to, like, internet broadcasting, it still applies to anything with the camera, whether it's live or not. So just take that with a grain of salt. Rosie, thank you so much for coming on the Jive Fair.
Thank you.
I'll leave you and Jacqueline to talk hair offline.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast. You guys are so, so funny. And I wish you guys the best of luck.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
After the break, we got to get Rob for short on here to tell Jacqueline why she's being ungrateful.
Oh, my God. You are not going to label me as ungrateful.
I'm sure that he will have some opinions on this. We need to send him... Sir, text him the picture of the flowers so he can see the flowers.
Flowers. Okay. He has the picture.
Good. And he'll also help us break the ice. Job fair. We'll be right back. Roy's job fair. I don't even know if we'll get to breaking the ice today, Bird, because we got to talk about these flowers.
Mm. What? Oh, please.
Facts. Hey, Rod. Hey, Rod.
It's cracking.
You ain't sending JG no flowers, bro. And not tell the dude.
No. No, of course not.
No. He comes on every week to help us break the ice, but giving you topics of discussion with co-workers of a different race from yourself. Comes to us from parts unknown. Look like you're on the road this week. From the look at that hotel room and the quality of that headboard tells me that it's a pretty stable gig that you got there. So.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I'm at a casino resort and spa right now.
Oh.
Get it, Rod. Get it.
I knew it. The good wood headboard with the little sound panels above the bed.
Amen to that.
So, Rod, before we jump into the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent Jacqueline some flowers today.
Did they?
And what did the card read, JG?
It just says, for you.
Uh-huh. No name, no nothing, nothing else. This is clearly somebody just tossing a line in the water to see if they can get it in there. But if I can describe this arrangement to our listeners, I count 3, 6, 9 roses, and there's some...
Damn, she fine. Tell me one more time, get along.
Nine. Cut them down.
It could be a dozen, but it's obstructed by some other stuff in the arrangement in the middle. But
wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute. He did the nine roses, and it's like how many calla lilies in there, bro? There's at least
and
what?
You know, Southern women love calla lilies.
They are gorgeous.
Right.
They're gorgeous.
So he sacrificed that dozen for them three calla lilies.
Yeah, I think it's nine and some callas. He didn't give it a whole dozen, but 12 is a nice foot in the door. Now.
Looks good. Looks good.
Give it a whole dozen.
Jacqueline says she ain't studying this man. And he ain't done nothing wrong. In fact, he did something right out the gate.
I don't even know who this is.
Once she knows who it is, should she at least entertain the possibility of a date?
No. She should not. That's creepy as shit. That's creepy as fuck. You know, I have absolutely zero love for creep niggas.
As for her OnlyFans, I know you hate simps. I know you hate.
Look, man, this ain't the fucking 30s. You don't just send a woman no damn roses with a card that says for you. That's some serial killer shit. If I was you, I'd send that vibe. I'd send that vibe straight to the fucking cops so they can pull some prints off that motherfucker. And when this nigga make his next move, which is you open the door to your crib and he in that motherfucker in a gimp suit with a sex swing set up. Say, but did you get my flowers? Fuck out of here, nigga.
But Rod, what's wrong with old school chivalry, romance? Like what should have been the play then? Should he have identified himself?
Most definitely. The first thing you want to do in this day and age when you're approaching a woman in any capacity is identify your fucking self. like women have been telling us for the last couple years very heavily how creepy a lot of shit niggas think is okay that they do. That's like real creepy, real sexist, real rapey. So 2021 ain't the time to just be sending anonymous shit to no ladies, because I'm sure most of you probably know, and maybe the listeners know too, Jacqueline ain't dating.
No, I'm not. Okay?
So this ain't even close to from a nigga she done smiled at 2 times. So you can't just be sending a woman who is single as all fucks a note that says just for you, here's some flowers. Who the fuck is this nigga? I don't trust
But Rod, there used to be a time where that was considered romantic. This could be, if this dude is over 40, I could see how he would think that this approach still plays. Because it would be like Jacqueline, like if this was 1991, Jacqueline would have told her friend, girl, somebody send me flowers. Who, bitch? I don't know.
No, I told them all. They all know. And I sent pictures and they're super cute.
So what did they say? What did your girlfriend say?
Oh, they're like, well, who is it? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm not even trying to find out.
And you don't want to find out. See, it might be cute to say, well, he's doing it old school, this and that. But a man who hasn't changed with the times is also creepy as fuck.
Goddamn, 30's right.
Man, he's just disrespecting the shit out of that damn poor Arby's manager who said a few resources for her. Who said her them anonymous flowers. Rod just killing this man's whole shit.
I mean, listen, Arby's. No disrespect to that, brother.
He was like,
or that, or bro, that he lady. Was like, I mean, I don't know who said him. No disrespect to
him. No, that part.
No disrespect
that part.
To him. No disrespect that part. To them.
To her.
But
them.
Please.
Or him.
Keep that creep shit in your back pocket, okay?
Okay.
Don't do that shit. Okay.
So then, last question then, Rod, before we get into breaking the ice. Is there a way for this brother to de-creepify himself? Now that he's already 3 feet into the creep pool, how does he keep the current from dragging him out into oblivion and never having a chance with Jack?
He should show up to Jacqueline's office. Obviously, he knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he might want to come in there and knock on the door and say, hey, how you doing? My name is Daryl Williams. Or if it turns out you know him, whatever. He should just come and say, hey, listen, I sent you some flowers the other day. I take it. You don't seem excited. I never heard anything about it. So maybe you thought it was creepy and I wasn't trying to be creepy, so please forgive me.
His next move should be to apologize for making a creep move.
Yeah, apologize for that. Let her know, you know, you didn't mean any disrespect. And then just take it from there.
I think you should show up at your job at St. Joseph's State until you come downstairs.
I mean, based on some conversations I've had with Jacqueline, I'm just glad it was flowers in that box.
I know, right?
Them DMs is dangerous.
Y'all would not believe the stuff people say.
Niggas sent some wild shit to Jacqueline.
I'm about to say, you could send some real wild anonymous things right now.
So
anything anonymous.
I'm just happy for her that it was roses this time.
Yes.
All right, Jacqueline. We wait until next week. And we want updates.
Nothing's going to happen now. He hears this, he's not going to do a thing.
Regardless.
He's afraid of all of you.
Regardless. I can't do nothing. You down south, motherfucker. Me and Ralph up here. Only person get to you is Rod. Yeah. It's going to take him 4 hours to answer the phone. You just need to keep it.
I'm like God, baby. I may not get there where you want me, but I'll be there right on time.
Let him know.
You better keep that thing on you, JG. Go on, keep that thing on your
little head. Always.
You better go get two of them things for real.
All right, Rod. Let's give these people something they can talk with their coworkers about. I'll let you decide which way to go here today.
Gonna kick things off with white people. Something is popping heavily in the black community right now. With a special shout out to Ralph on this one. It was recently announced that Mario Mims, aka Yo Gotti, is now a part owner of the DC United Major League Soccer.
You mean the DC United team that Ralph can no longer show up to their official bar because he got into an argument with somebody? Like, Ralph can only watch DC United at the game. How you banned from the bar but not the stadium?
They can't find you when you're going with a hoodie. It's a little different. It's super casual. Sorry.
So rappers,
shout out to Bar.
Musicians buying teams is not uncommon. I know J-Lo and Mark Anthony have a piece of the Dolphins. I know Jay-Z has a piece of the Nets.
Yeah, it was the Nets.
Did he sell it? I don't know if he sold his...
I think he sold it a couple years ago, but he's still like a brand ambassador.
I got one question.
What's that?
Bridge that gap for me. Why should white people be talking to black people about Yo Gotti owning a soccer team in D.C.?
This is big news, man.
White people are instantly going to say, especially back home, what is a Yo Gotti?
Yeah.
That's when the black person educates you.
Yeah, they let them know that Yo Gotti is a great underground rapper, independent artist who made some major label moves for a while, but ended up going independent.
Drugs?
Yeah, he's an ex drug dealer and
13 years like
this
Jay-Z.
Is great. It's a great move to see that man come from where he's from, out in Memphis, man, and coming from the hood and coming from the streets. And, you know, he took the advice from Chappelle's Show and the Wu-Tang. He diversified his bonds, nigga. Maybe this will get some black people into soccer. I mean, this is exciting, man. This is dope news.
Justin Timberlake's got a piece of the Memphis Grizzlies. Thank you, Down South Georgia girl, for this. Jimmy Buffett, the Miami Dolphins. Usher Raymond, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Why do they all have teams that are nowhere near them, first of all?
I think it boils down to whichever teams are struggling and need a little financial infusion to help, you know, stay afloat. Just because
we've been struggling for 10 years.
Yeah, it's a solid, like most, like any other investment, it's about opportunity. So, yeah, you can't just buy a piece of whoever the hell you want to, because a lot of people are like, I ain't selling shit, not even 0.5% to you niggas.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, the Philadelphia 76ers. That's probably the only one that owns something in their
hometown team.
Nelly is a part owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. Well, now the Hornets again. But at the time, they had a black owner, Bob Johnson, who sold all his BET bread to take over the Bobcats. So, of course, he was giving other Negroes a little pinch of everything. Michael Jordan got a little pinch. Well,
you know what, dude? You know what? It's funny you say that, man, because there's a weird correlation there. I don't know if you all know this or not, but the president of DC United is a black woman.
Wow, I did not know that.
See, there you go.
So that could be the connection of how Yo Gotti might have got in there, because I'm telling you, as a lifelong DC United fan, there's no way in the world. Like, we got Genghis and all the, well, never mind. That's all the go-go bands. They're not going to let the go-go bands become a
problem. I do think it is a good thing for soccer. It's a good thing for the visibility of it in America and the growth of the brand of MLS, which is continuing to expand. Let's flip the script real quick there.
Black people, what you want to be talking to white people about right now is dogs and their love of dogs. This is a story from my own personal life that happened to me last night. Last night, posted up at this bar and ended up talking to a guy after the show. He was kind of limping around. And of course, we started talking about what happened. And, you know, it was a white dude who told me that he was at his ex-girlfriend's house a week ago to pick some stuff up. And her dog attacked him in the balls.
Oh.
The dog bit him half in the nutsack, half in the upper thigh.
Oh.
And so he's all stitched up and things like that. And of course, I'm like, so, like, did you call the cops or what? And this man said that he did not call the cops. He's not suing and he's not reporting the dog bite because he may hate her, but he would never take that out on the dog. And I was blown away by, I mean, I come on here a lot and tell you about how much white people love animals and specifically dogs, but let a dog and its owner get away when you get your nuts bit? That's a whole lot of love. I mean, would any of you do that? If somebody's dog bit you in the genitals, would you just let that shit fly?
No, you gotta beat his ass.
I'd take Jacqueline's gun. I'd take Jacqueline's gun. Y'all had to get upset with me. That'd be a smoke canine, bro. You ain't, no.
Did you ask why the dog now decided to bite him? Because the dog loved him, obviously, prior to the breakup.
Well, he said the dog never, they weren't ever the best of friends, but the dog, I guess this time he came over and I guess she had already been training the dog to stick him now that he don't live for that no more. And the dog attacked him.
You gotta beat his ass.
You gotta beat the dog's ass.
Yeah, wait a minute, what kind of dog was it?
It's an English bulldog, I think you said it was.
Oh,
English bulldog.
Those things ain't normally that lively like that. Like, they normally just sit around.
Oh, that's on him. Them motherfuckers ain't fast. You was on the floor playing with the dog. English bulldog don't even jump. That's on you.
That's his fault. Like, that's like being at a public stabbing and waiting your turn. Like, you can leave. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I got bit by a bloodhound. Motherfucker. slow.
Oh. Arf.
So none of you love dogs enough that you would just let one bite you in the groin and just let it slide.
I fantasize about putting both of my hands in a dog's mouth and as hard as I can, pulling the reverse and ripping its lower jaw from its fucking head.
You do not.
If a dog is biting me, like in my head, every man has this move. It's that or I'm forcing my fist down his throat. Like every man, like I'm serious, Jacqueline, every man has the, man, if a motherfucker do that to me, I'll karate and then I'll do this move. So for me, if a dog is ever attacking me, the other offer is to offer my left, if I know I'm getting bit, offer the left arm, and then just eye gouge you motherfucker, just fuck it. I know this all sounds good on paper. I probably cry like a bitch, but.
My pops tells a story about when he was growing up, a dog bit him. And he turned around and bit the dog back.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like he was, oh yeah, it was a dog. Circulated story. Pop Deuce was like, I wasn't playing that shit. He went turn right around and bit the shit out of that dog. I'm like, what am I bit the hell out of that dog.
Oh man. The podcast is Uncle Rod Story Corner. Rod, as always, we appreciate
you. Thank you very much, man.
On.
Bless up.
Good advice, Rod.
Scam of the week time. Always a pleasure when I have friends and colleagues. Did you know I have colleagues, Jacqueline?
What?
Are you aware of that? Are you aware that there are people I know professionally outside of the world of stand-up comedy?
Yes, Roy, I do know that.
See, I didn't like the hesitation in your voice right there. You hear the disrespect in her voice, Ralph? You see how she liked the disrespect? Yeah,
it was a little soft in that.
It's a weird question.
No, it's not a weird question because more often than not on this show, we have strangers on, right?
Yes.
It's not often that I have people I know because I don't want to bother my friends. I they're busy. They live in their life. I'd rather talk to strangers so I can preserve friendships. But every now and then, a friend reaches out to me.
Aisha. And she wants to talk to you about retail hail.
Okay. So now, she's being modest right about now.
Very modest.
Who's being modest?
This is one of what I consider to be one of our thought leaders right now, you know, in making sure that, you know, journalistically speaking, that people are held accountable, not only white people, but black people as well. Y'all got to get y'all shit together too. Well, where was this? Let's just start with that. Let's name names.
This was Eddie Bauer at Woodbridge Mall in New Jersey.
Eddie Bauer's a classy store.
The customers weren't classy, I would say. And so the customers, you know, Eddie Bauer has this return policy, which basically says you can return your stuff regardless if you've had it for 10 years or 10 minutes. So the customers would just bring in these raggedy items that they, you know, some Gore-Tex boots you done hiked the Himalayas in for 5 years. And now you're tired of them. And now you want some new boots. You could bring your boots in, Eddie Bauer.
At least back then
you could. I don't know if they changed their policy since then. But yeah, you can bring back a holy pair of underwear and be like, hey, these don't fit no more.
But, and you just supposed to just shut the fuck up and accept that.
Exactly. And give them their current value in either an exchange or money back on their card.
What was the worst thing?
The worst thing. You want to know the worst thing.
Please.
So one time, this man, he brings in a little paper bag. I was like, what is this? This is during the holiday season too, also. And so I open up the paper bag and Eddie Bauer stole these silk long johns, which I love. And I didn't want to touch them. So I poured them out onto the counter and they were soiled.
Soiled how? Skid marks or piss?
Skid marks. And so I thought I was being pumped. No. I thought someone was playing. I looked at my coworker at the next cash register and I looked at him. I was like, I'm not touching this. And he was like, he looked at me. He was like, what is it? I was like, there's skid marks in these silk pants. And the man standing right there, he was, you know, early 50s, I would say. He was like, well, I want my money back. And I'm like, why? He's like, because I used them. I was like, obviously you did, because they have skid marks on them. And then he got upset because I didn't want to touch his skid mark silk long johns.
You got to be real nasty to skid mark silk. I don't know if anybody else, to this day,
I have to assume it was like some prank or something, because why? Why do you think it's appropriate to bring your doo-doo stain underwear back to the store? But, you know, we gave him a new pair and sent him on his merry way.
But what did y'all do with the pair that y'all took back?
I don't know where it goes. We put it in the back of the back room, and I have no clue what happens to the stuff that's returned.
Take advantage of stores' return policies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And people did it every day. We would just say, we had this contest. Let's see who brings back the oldest item. So, I mean, it was a little, you know, scam going on, but that was their policy. And people knew that was their policy. So they took advantage of it.
May we ask what you do now? I'm very respectful of my friend's privacy. So I don't know if you want to plug what you do or the waters you swim in now and how people can find you. If you want to find, if not, I will just stop here and thank you for coming on the show.
Well, currently I'm out here in Los Angeles pitching TV shows and podcasts. I'm also working for a Black PAC organization, Black Women's PAC organization called Higher Heights. And yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing.
Okay, okay. Activism, activism, and selling scripts.
Trying to get some more Black women in office, you know.
Well, Jacqueline will run, but we're going to have to.
I've already run, Roy.
Well, you're going to have to hurry up and run because the way we racking up these podcast episodes, they're going to find one to use against you.
Oh, start at number 3.
You done laughed at the wrong joke here and there already. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And when I get back to Los Angeles after that COVID, as the old Black people call it, when that COVID calmed down.
It ain't calming down. I'm not leaving the house.
Smart woman.
All right, Jersey. Good talking to you.
Okay, thanks. Same to you.
Thank you, Aisha. Bye.
I didn't know Eddie Bauer had the loose return policy. I'm in Northern Virginia, man. It was always Nordstrom. You could take anything back to Nordstrom. Mm-hmm. Anything. You wear it. Girls took prom dresses back to Nordstrom.
I'm not as bold as them Eddie Bauer people where I come in, return it, there's shit on it, fuck you. I would come in like I would have a whole persona, full dissatisfied customer. Yeah, well, you know, I just think honestly with these Sonys, you know, I just think of Panasonic. I'm just gonna go home and think about it. But if I could just have my money back for this one.
But you're also not white, so you don't have that necessarily privilege that you just walk in and say, "I don't want this. Take it back."
Well, I almost feel like when you're Black, you do have to bring up a little bit of a story sometimes when you bring it back. You can't just walk in, even unless it's just totally broken. If it's totally broken, then you can say, "Oh, well, you know, I fell off of a building while I was trying to record something, and that's why I'm bringing it back." You know, you can't just walk in there and tell them the truth that you threw it at somebody.
Okay, yeah. I'll say this. This is what I do. I call in advance because on the phone, I sound pretty much white. And when I get there, I say, "Hi." Well, I talk in my regular voice. I'm returning this for Jacqueline, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're like, "Oh, okay, she called in." I'm like, "Yeah."
You send yourself in as your own concierge?
Yeah. I got to do what I got to do.
That is beautiful.
Shout out to Down South Georgia girl. Pulled up a little research on the Eddie Bauer return policy here. Apparently, the jig is up on lifetime returns. We want our customers to be happy with our products. If you're unsatisfied with your Eddie Bauer product, you may return or exchange it in its original, unworn, unused condition with proof of purchase. The shit door has been closed.
Thank goodness. The jig is up.
The scam has ran the course.
And I'm so glad Aisha didn't touch that. That is disgusting.
All right, that's the show. Roy's Job Fair is a production of iHeartMedia, Comedy Central, South Park, and Princeton Productions. Thank you to all the guests. Thank you to Madam Faulkner for coming on, telling you how to go live. Jacqueline, I'm going to send you some passive-aggressive emails and see if you don't take them personally.
Heard my last
email to your funky ass. Because you may as well put that right behind it. You say, "Per my last email."
I gotta find some of my angry emails. Like, they, you know, when you leave the place, they see your email archive. And so I think I'm gonna try and find. Well, y'all wouldn't know that because y'all keep that consistent.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That taught you something. I will try and go through some of the archives and find some of my angrier emails.
I would love to hear that. I would love to have you read some of those on here because we can teach people.
We can teach people how to do better. Like, that's what I feel like I've learned since I've been with you all for the last couple of months, man. I've learned how to do better in situations, you know, when I'm working versus, you know, just falling into that angry Black man stereotype.
Well, good, man.
KG, you taught me how to be complimentary and how to say really nice flowery things to people and shit. You know what I'm saying? Jacqueline make you feel good about yourself, bro. Like, it's amazing. She make you feel like a good shower with like a fresh block of Irish Spring. She start giving you the compliments. You just be all happy.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
This shit take the rug out from under you and be like, "What, nigga?"
All right.
I'll shoot you.
Next week.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.